Hello, good evening, everyone. Today is March 5th, 2014, and this is the Creation Lightship Healing Show with Ron Ametron. We have an exciting program planned for you tonight, which includes a wonderful guest named Terry, who's been listening for a while and has some questions and requests for Ron. And we're all looking forward to that. Terry, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Terry, and hi, Ron.
Hi, Anne.
I guess before we start, Ron, do you want to do the activate the light being for everyone?
Yeah, we'll get rid of critters on people, or if you have any situations going on or things crawling on you or just things in general, emotional stuff. So think of an issue that you've had. Maybe you have a sore throat now from the weather conditions here or something. So if that's the case, let's get rid of some entities. Let's do some entity clearings. So here we go, everybody. See if your body feels a little better afterwards. Maybe have a little more energy. So here we go. Entities being released. So stronger, 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 and stronger. Now, if you'd like to bring up the light beam, go to creationlightship.com, bring the light beam up, and we'll energize that now for you to give you some peace energy throughout this program. Here we go. So one, two, we'll bring the males in tonight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. There they are. Okay, well, we have Terry on tonight, and Terry in Los Angeles at the Conscious Life Expo. So I guess I'll turn it over to you, Terry.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ron. Yeah, well, I just wanted to share with everybody my experience at the expo, and the light infusion chamber was really terrific. I went into the chamber maybe about 10 times, and the first time that I was in there, and I felt a real sense of like kind of a washing away of things. And then the funny thing is that each time I came out, like the other nine times, I would see people and they would go, "Wow, you look great." And I really felt great coming out. Like every time in, I felt like I was just getting just relieved of something. I wasn't always clear about what it was, but I could feel the clearing take place. So if anybody gets a chance to come see you and be in the light infusion chamber, I recommend it highly. It's well worthwhile.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, so the question I have, some of the things that came up for me at the expo, you talked a lot about timelines, and I've really been working with them a lot since then. And one thing that I've noticed, it seems like the way I experience them is like they're kind of like channels on TV, and like I'm in the timeline of like right now. And if I get kind of taken off of it and I'm in another timeline, it actually has a different feel to it, like if something's been switched over. And then I can kind of tell from that frequency, like I'm off. And then, like, the trick is to then come back to the current timeline. Could you elaborate on the timelines? And are they like that? Is it distinct, like, time-space channels? And then it's like, on one or another?
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it, yeah. So there's, you know, many timelines that you could be living without even knowing that. So it's possible that you're living timelines that you know nothing about, but you could possibly placed onto one of those. Now, remember, your scenery around you may look identical, except the way your body's connected to the timeline might be different. So, in fact, what we'll do here, we'll do a little experiment here. Let's put everybody back into a timeline. It's exact time right now, but we'll go back one day. So we'll go back tomorrow. So we'll be on another timeline that we experienced in the past of yesterday. Now, if you happen to have a traumatic situation at this time, then actually you don't want to go there. But, you know, if your day was normal, then, you know, you're going to be able to feel the difference in energy. We'll shift you back one day into the past. 24 hours ago. So here we go. Going back, I'll count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, man. I think it'll stop there. That feels about enough for me. So you might feel like you're disconnected from reality right now, like you're lost in space, but everything around you looks like it's still here. So in a sense, what you're seeing now is dead energy all around you. It's all dead. Let's bring you back into the moment here now. So coming back again, 1, 2, 3, there, 4. Now we're back here. Well, if you notice, it should have shifted somewhat for you. Naturally, not everybody can sense this, but the ones out there that can will definitely feel a shift, and you're going to not really want to go there. Yeah, the timelines are all there. When you're on the timelines that are running parallel to this one, with the same movie set playing over and over and over again, you can get sideways and bring in some energies that maybe you don't want to experience. So when you're on the correct timeline, the source energy, everything normally around you or most of the stuff that you're dealing with will just kind of fall in place effortlessly. You know, I myself can tell when they switch me out. It doesn't happen too often, but when they do, I can. I'll start to see cars next to me. Maybe I want to go through a traffic light, and I get to it, and it turns red. I go, hmm. The next one I go to turns red. And then there's always interference around me with other cars. I want to do maybe a right-hand turn, and it takes forever. I know that I'm not on the now timeline, because in the now timeline, nothing is there to kind of you know, wreck your day or interfere with your progress or movement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, back to you, Terry.
Thank you. The command to be on the now timeline, one of the things that I heard is a command to be in the creation lightship now timeline of light. Is that the way to get onto the timeline now? If I catch myself on another timeline, that's
yeah,
the way
yeah, that's an easy way to do it. Yeah, that way you know where you are, and you're just commanding the energy for you to be on the proper timeline in the now. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Okay. So what I've been doing I've been practicing, like, as I'm driving to work. I take, like, I'll set a timer for 5 minutes, and I'll do, like, I now increase my life force energy for 5 minutes. And I'll do, you know, mind-to-heart draw for 5 minutes. And I'll do, you know, the time now timeline for 5 minutes. And then I'll do various things. I'll just kind of keep cycling through. And one thing that I've noticed is practicing giving myself commands out loud and having, you know, just a kind of a limited amount of time where it's not just open-ended, but it's like practicing those commands, I've noticed that it makes me, I feel like I'm more sensitive when I get off of the now timeline or when I'm not in my heart. It builds up a sensitivity, and then it also gives me a way to get back. Like I have a toolbox now of when I find myself off, which of these do I choose? You know, is it a mind-to-heart drop or increase my life force energy? So it's really interesting. I notice that I get an opportunity to, like, review when I'm off and decide which of the commands is going to work best for me.
Well, that's very
good.
Yeah.
Is that a way?
Let me ask you a question, Terry, too. Do you do the the finger exercise to see where you are?
Yeah, but I there's something about that I don't quite understand when I have it in front of me. One thing I have noticed is the finger, if I'm just holding it in front of me and if I move it to the left and then I move it to the right, there's kind of I feel like a tuning that goes on.
Yeah.
Like I'm tuning whether I'm present or not present, I'm in the past. I can actually sense it then. So that's how I've been using it to kind of get a sense of, am I in the now? And then just tweaking it like a radio dial.
That's exactly what I do. If I do it, you know, I either do it in front of a mirror with a friend or I just touch my finger to my nose and then I know. So if I'm off and I pull it back and I actually feel myself becoming centered on the now timeline.
Yeah.
So if I put my finger up and it's incorrect, meaning it's to my left or my right, I leave it where it is for a moment and then pull it slowly back to my nose. And you do feel it, as you said. So I just think it's a wonderful, you know, and it's a good thing to do before you start saying, I now increase my life force energy. So you're sure you're in the now timeline and your spirit's with you.
Got it.
You want to add anything to that, Ron?
Oh, that sounds good. It's and when you're in the now, it's harder to be corded. But when you're in the now, you have more energy, and the energy could possibly, I can't guarantee this, but it could possibly strengthen your auric field, which would be, in a sense, your protection around you, which may allow you to have less attack energies coming to you.
And what was the first step of that? Just doing the finger exercise?
Yeah, if you do the finger exercise, once you're in the moment, then you have all of your life force energy. So I guess the way to explain that is when you're not in the present moment, then your energy around you or your full spirit energy is not connected to you in that great energy field. So you could be maybe down two-thirds of your energy. So you're running one-third energy, we'll say. And then that happens, you're running body energy. It's a spirit energy. Well, body energy can be corded very easily. Start running your spirit energy with you in the moment. Then if anything comes to you as a psychic attack or a cording, we'll say, that spirit energy around your body is so strong that it won't attach to your physical body. It may just come in and take the energy around in your auric field. And I'm not saying that's proper, but that's one way to look at it, okay? And it'll take that and keep getting drained of that off of your auric field, and maybe it might get enough and leave you alone. But if you don't have that spirit energy working with you, then your body energy is now what people are sucking. So you want to, you know, get in with your spirit, which is so much more energy than your body would have. That can help to ward off psychic attacks and things from you when you're in the now. Mm. And when you're in the now, you're in the now. And it's hard because when you're in the now, that's source energy. And nothing can really be connected in source energy because it's source energy. Mm-hmm. Deviate from that, and you start wandering a little bit into, you know, the past or the future, then you start losing your source energy, which is your spirit, and now your body is still there as a target. Of having this tremendous amount of spirit energy with your body. That make sense?
It really makes sense. Yeah, so it's like tapping into source energy, so I'm not relying on my own body energy, which is limited in the scope of things, but source energy is unlimited. So it's like tapping into that, then I've got a great buffer for being attacked.
Yes, and that source energy is all created by your spirit. Mm-hmm. And possibly you could even maybe tap into being in the now more of the Earth spirit's energy, too, from the planet. Oh, that could be possible, too, but the energy around you look all the same to people. It would just be very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking about body energy, now, I know that there are commands for mind of the body. Is that the body energy you're talking about, or is the mind of the body something different than
energy? That's a good question. The mind of the body is what I perceive as your internal healer. It's like that little, you know, the little guy with the white coat on, you know, with the thick glasses or something, you know, the little mad scientist trying to figure out what's wrong with the body, why it's hurting, what's going on here, what past life. Are you running and just trying to help you out with all this different stuff. And then if you get a physical condition, then it's really working overtime. And then from there, if you have barcodes, then it kind of gives up. If you have any of those death barcodes on you, then it goes, well, this person is programmed to die. You really can't help them out that much. So, but the mind of the body is your healer. The actual energy of your body is kind of built into the body. So it's going to be there and make the body function and operate.
Mm-hmm. So when I feel into my body and I just kind of get a general sense of, you know, like my hands are warm, I'm breathing, there's just various things that are happening in my body, that's something different than the mind of the body.
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay.
Yeah, but the mind of the body, if it's shut down, you could start to feel cooler and cold. In fact, we'll do an experiment here again. Let's turn down the mind of the body for everybody, and you can see what the difference is here. So right now, wherever you are now is where you are, and let's make the mind of the body half of what it is right now. So count to five, we'll just decrease it to half, and just see how your body's feeling. So one, two, three, four, and five. Now you're at one half of your mind of the body energy that's there to help you. Get a sample, and I'll bring it up to where it was before. One, two, three, four, and five.
Huh. Yeah, I could feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like I got heavy and dense when you decreased it, and then lighter and like more of a feeling of inspiration as you increased it.
Yep, and that's why we have that clearing on the body jumpstart, too. Plus, we also have it as a regular clearing. So if your mind of the body isn't functioning too well, or at all, we'll say, you know, a real low percentage, then it may be very difficult to get rid of a sore throat or a cold or have healing done because it's just dysfunctional.
Right. And so when, like, I sprained my toe yesterday, and one thing that I've been doing, it was a little bike accident, and what I've been doing is kind of just touching it because it's very tender. It's a big toe joint, and I'm just, like, touching it in a really, like, gentle way, but then also giving my mind of the body a command. Like, as I stroke it, it's like, oh, mind of the body, heal my sprained toe.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
It feels like it makes it very physical for me, and it's not just saying it. I have a greater sense.
Okay, that's very good. So so your spirit, because there's probably pain there, probably not on your toe, and it really doesn't want to be there because it doesn't want to pick on those densities or get anything. So let's just try something here. Let's put in some space holders there, just kind of playing this live here. Let's put in some space holders in your toe. They really don't do anything, but they may keep entities from attaching and coming into you. Let's first get rid of entities because you may have a lot of entities that have toe problems. And here we go, being released. And might even have entities that maybe they lost their toe. That would be even worse. Here we go. Here we go. And more energy there. Okay, and now get rid of entities, a little more of them there. Here we go, and now I'll work here. How's your toe feeling? Is it tingling more or anything?
It's a little numb, yeah. Got some numbness to it.
Let's just see how that works for you, okay?
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, and that feels really appropriate because on both of my big toes I've had bunionectomies a number of years ago, so there's like trauma in the joint. So
let's go back. So let's also do a timeline crash for that. So let's go back. You know, whenever you had your first situation with your toe. Okay. So we'll just pick that time for you here, because your body knows when it was in this lifetime. So let's release that here. So here we go, releasing it. So one. Doing timeline crashes, two, three, four, and five. And again, one, two, three, four, and five. And one, two, three, four, and five. There we go. That may help you out a little bit there. And let's do a timeline crash when you had this occurrence here a couple of days ago or yesterday or something. So here we go.
Yep.
To that timeline. So you may want to do maybe 100 of these for that time. So here we go. One, two, three, four, five, That one's a big one. 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here we go. Oh, how's the feeling? Is there any...
I have the sensation like my feet are really hot and like there's steam coming up out of the toes. It's not actually happening, but it has that kind of sensation to me, like it's something's rising up out of the toes.
Great. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So as you're doing those timelines, Ron, now that's not something, or that is something, that's a question that I can do for myself, because in terms of timeline crashing, even without the program, is that how would I do that with a self-exam?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you need to get on the computer to do the timeline crash. I'll do five more for everybody. So everybody out there, you know, everybody has probably had a problem with their feet or toes, so this is probably a real common one, you know. Unless you wear sandals or something and something drops from a shelf and hits your toes. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is one timeline. I counted to 5. I'll go to 10 now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There. So that's help everybody out there, because you'll be off of some of those timelines causing that situation to be copy and pasted.
I feel relief in my belly.
And even that holographic free clearing could help out too. You know, if you look at that and realize that those holograms are being created too along with the timeline. So.
So, and what's the difference between a hologram and a timeline?
The timelines are what you're put onto to live your life, and the holographic one is probably just before they create it. So they're kind of, you're out there, you're kind of viewing timeline that you're going to be entering into. They're kind of similar. They kind of dovetail.
If I'm in a timeline that's not now, I'm going. Let's say I've gone sideways. Is that timeline a hologram?
The timeline would be a manifested hologram. The holographic one is maybe just before it starts to be created, and maybe it's not completed yet, but it's still having all the data being present. Maybe a program that's maybe not quite activated yet. Well, maybe, you know, it's kind of like in the manifestation process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably how people, maybe you have deja vu or something, or you see something or sense something could happen to you. Well, that's probably because you're starting to view that holographic reality before it gets created. Say, I don't want to do that. And then you back off. Yeah. Stop what you're doing, and then that timeline will be going on in the beyond, though, but you just pulled yourself away from it.
Oh, I see. So opting out of, like, physically participating in it.
Yes, uh-huh. You're actually saying no to it, you know.
Okay.
Kind of like, you know, you get you're looking at something, you go, I don't think I want to do that right now, you know. Doesn't feel right to me or something. That's probably because you're starting to see yourself getting pasted and copied to that holographic reality, and you somehow sense that, and you don't want to go there. Kind of like,
I've really noticed that a lot recently, is that I'll recognize if I was angry or irritated or confused or something that feels a little bit off, and I'll go, oh, wow, I'm on a timeline right now.
Yeah.
And then I have this opportunity to either stay on it or shift it.
Yes, so that's good.
Yeah. Hmm. And it's becoming really distinct.
As you start to have more clearings, which I'm sure you're having, you know, off and on, and sort of that emotional stuff, and get more connected to who you really are, then you're going to have a lot more insight, and it'll be like that internal knowing.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, it sounds like you're actually, you know, experiencing that quite a bit now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I've wondered whether I'm getting too, like, open, because I've been starting to see things and experience things, and then it's like, well, what timeline am I on? And it becomes a little bit confusing, because then I think I engage my mind. There's, like, a lot of things that kind of cascade from that.
Because you're doing is you're seeing choices. So you're actually on the holographic reality timelines before they're probably put into place. So you are using mind energy, because that's what they're giving you, is that mind energy. And you go, oh, I don't want to go there, or, you know, I don't feel that's right or something, or, you know. You're able to find out which off-ramp, if you want to get off on an off-ramp, to go sideways and be away from source energy, rather than to be straight, you know, intact at source energy and going with your spirit versus going sideways with a little piece of your spirit in a different fabrication of reality, on that holographic reality.
Wow, so many.
Harder to make ends meet and have everything else happen, because darkness doesn't want you to have an easy life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's becoming more and more apparent. So I've heard you talk about being in our bodies, and what is, when you, like, I hear the words, I just want to make sure, for me, when I say in my body, it's like, okay, I feel, like, I can feel my physicality, my breath, I know that I'm thinking, so I start kind of, like, experiencing myself, what it's like to be in my body. What is it you mean when you say being in your body? Because you've really, I think you've emphasized that a lot more recently, about really taking care of the body. I'd like to know more about that.
Okay, yeah. When you're in your body, you're sharing your space that your physical body takes up with your spirit. Then you have your spirit and your body as one. So in a sense, you're connecting to the light. It gets to be a little hard to describe here, because you're actually walking with your light body, because your spirit gives you the light. Without your spirit, you wouldn't, you know, have that light around you. So you are integrating your light body, which is your spirit. The way I'm talking this way, anyway, it may be different from other teachings, but your spirit gives you the light. Now, if you wanted to be invisible, and this is like the opposite of what we're talking about. If you wanted to be invisible to people completely, either you would get on a whole different timeline where they don't even see you, but you could still see them, but they won't feel your presence. Or what you could do is actually have your spirit out of your body, and then you're actually invisible because you're not glowing. Like, you know, you don't have any light turned on.
Mm.
Although you don't have any intuition either when that happens. So, I'm not suggesting to do that, but nobody could possibly ever see you if you're not in your body. And that's probably how this happens to everybody. All of a sudden, somebody walks up to you, maybe taps you on your shoulder or something, or they walk up to you and you don't recognize them or see them until they get really, really close. And then you get startled, and maybe nobody's home in that body, so they don't have any resonance.
Mm-hmm.
The body's still working, but the person isn't there. Oh, mm-hmm. So you really can't identify light to light, because they're of darkness. Remember, the light doesn't know darkness.
Oh.
Probably get startled. Oh. Wow, what happened? But a lot of times when you get startled, It's because you're out of your body, because you don't have any intuitive insight or awareness when that happens. So that's like when your alarm clock goes off in the morning, jerk and jump up, and you wonder where the heck you are. It's because your spirit hasn't made the connection yet with you. Or maybe for some reason the alarm clock goes off and you don't do that crash landing. Maybe your spirit's way out someplace, and you sit there and you have an awareness that with your eyes open, but you probably can't move. What's this? Okay. That's very terrifying for some people, especially if it takes, you know, more than 5 seconds to start to move. Most people start to move, you know, pretty much instantly. But I'm sure people are listening out there that that's happened to them, and it's just really freaky because you just can't physically move because you don't have any energy to do that. But yet your eyes are open and you're hearing, but you're like paralyzed.
Yeah, I've had that experience a few times when I'd wake up in the middle of the night. This was years ago, and I would just be completely frozen, but I'd be wide awake.
Yes.
It seems like I was wide awake. And then I would move. I couldn't move my body, but if I moved I started moving a finger, and then all of a sudden, by getting movement in the one finger, it melted the rest of my body, and I could move the rest of my body.
Yes, yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so that's spirit not being in my body.
Yes, and if you've seen somebody ever in a hospital when they're maybe a week from death, and they're hooked up to tubes typically, you know, normally that's the case now, or they're on something, a respirator or whatever, and they're just there, and you go into the room, and you look at them, and they go, oh, this person just seems pretty peaceful. Well, they don't have any body energy. Then, you know, you maybe touch them or say something to them, and they open their eyes, and like nobody's home at all, 5 seconds. Then the spirit slowly comes in, and their eyes get brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you know, okay, the person is now here. Or they were, like,
mm-hmm.
completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. And some people think that, the person, as their eyes get brighter, maybe what they're doing for them is really, really beneficial. But really, it's just that they're shocked to come into the body. The spirit's already basically given the body up, but as a spirit is contracted, we'll say, in a sense, to be with the body continuously, there's no need for it to be with you when you're dying and doesn't want to feel that pain or whatever the body's going through or the drugs, but it will come in, you know, when the body gets awakened, shaken or bumped or something, because it's there to help protect the body, and it'll
mm-hmm.
probably leave real quick.
So when you say in your body, be in your body, what I'm getting right now from what you're saying is it's not just physical sensations. It's actually like I'm aware of my spirit energy in my body, and I'm aware of my body. Like it's the marriage of body and spirit, that whatever that feeling is. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, and it may not even be a feeling. It makes you feel like your whole body location is energized.
Whole body, yeah, right.
And when you're out of your body, it's like you're like a prey or a victim to the wind and everything else around you, because you can't hold your integrity. The body's here, but it doesn't have any life force that can energize it. Even though it is energized by the energy, you know, in the body, because there is light in the body, but it's not the same. It's maybe, you know, maybe let's just say 10%, and then the other 90%, you know, when it really pops out, when your spirit comes in, then it's like, you know, content. But when your spirit's out, you don't feel content. You might feel kind of eerie,
yeah.
And you can sense that eeriness, and people are out of their body, and they look at you, and nobody's home, and you wonder, yikes, what's looking at me? Nothing's there. And, you know, mm-hmm. who's controlling this and what entities are in there?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, when you're in your body, then you have a presence of being alive and awakened.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to sense energies. Plus you have a great intuition. when you're in your body too. All that is awakened.
Mm-hmm. I feel a greater experience of being in my body right now.
And you will feel heavier. Body will feel heavier.
Feel heavier? Yeah.
Uh-huh. So in a way, you would think that if when you're in your body, you're going to be full of light, you won't have any weight. No, that's when you're not in your body. So when you're in your body, you're actually making everything in your body have the density of the earth energies, and you feel heavy. Or you feel more solid because you are solid because your spirit's with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid. That's a good word. That's how it feels to me.
Yes.
That's really good. Yeah, so now I feel like I have a little bit more of a benchmark of sensing how I'm in my body and then what it takes. It's not just a physical sensation, but it's a consciously connecting with my with spirit energy while I'm in my body.
Yes. And it's all automatic. Yeah. Once you're in your body, spirit just takes over. And there's nothing for you to really do or push or try to, do anything because it's all knowing.
Mm-hmm. And then the mind of my body is...
That's your healing mechanism.
That's the healing mechanism
inside of your body.
Yeah, and that doesn't have anything to do with me being in my body. That may or may not enhance it if I'm in my body.
It might enhance it a little bit. I'm sure that it would enhance it somewhat, but maybe not a whole lot because it's already doing its job with your body because it's living in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one way to put it may be like your body is you completely new, and in that is the mechanism for the healing. When your spirit comes in, now all of a sudden you have all your clothes on. Have that added benefit, and along with the clothes on, you have your little radar tentacles out there and your binoculars, and everything else, so you can have an awareness of this reality here.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing that I've noticed with the number of clearings is like, wow, which one do I need right now? There's just this huge, menu of clearings. Can I use like muscle testing or a pendulum or something like that to help me identify the most appropriate clearing to use, or is there a way to know, or is it something I can ask my spirit?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, a muscle testing could possibly work. That's going to work on your density of what you have in your body, if you need it or not. I would just ask somebody else around you what they pick up from you. Okay.
Huh.
Sometimes that's easier than trying to figure out what you may need. Typically, everybody needs. Everybody has fear of something. Fear is a good one to always, get back into, and maybe anxieties. Those are the main ones. What's your day like? Or look at your day yesterday, possibly, and say, okay, I got up, I went to work. Where do my buttons get pushed? And what's that issue? What's the agenda that I got involved with? And then from there, kind of look at that, because what happened yesterday is still going to be with you today, and then see kind of what that major theme is, and then find out which one of those clearings may work for that. So we're talking about actual just like emotional dramas and traumas that everybody goes through. If you have a physical situation, then either the body jumpstart or maybe the special clearing. I would highly recommend the body jumpstart if anybody has a situation, because there's so many clearings in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you feel funky, and you just don't feel right, and you think the day isn't right for you, and you want to put your covers over your head, very possibly you're not on the right timeline. Also, do some timeline crashes.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, like, because I've noticed the thing that, one of the things that really, where I get taken out is through worry. And it's not like I'm worrying all the time, but I have these episodes where I'll get into, you know, like a mind grind, and I feel really taken out. So then on something like that, I could just do a timeline crash for worry.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Let's see here. Yeah, worry would be good, yeah. Because the timeline crashes, you know, will help you out with that without doing a whole lifetime one. Now maybe if you look at yourself maybe for the last 6 months and you go, boy, I've been doing a lot of worrying here or something, then you may want to do a whole lifetime clearing if your theme is there. But if it just, you know, happens every so often and you find yourself doing that, then you may not need a whole lifetime clearing.
Oh, you have a whole lifetime thing for worry?
I don't know if I have that one or not. I don't think I have worry, but there's probably something else that might be kind of similar.
Well, I just plug that into the emotional clearing and just run that as a special or an incident or something like that and just say...
Yeah, that would be good, yes, uh-huh, because it is going, it is dealing with emotions, how it's affecting you.
Uh-huh, okay.
How many we get into emotions, most people kind of freeze up or get timid or something because you're worrying about something that's from your past.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be new to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then worrying into the future. I get into a future timeline.
Yes, that is correct. They'll put you there so you're worrying really, really good. And then they'll bring you outcomes that could happen to you, you know? Kind of like driving your car, right? You got your tail lights out, right? And you know about that, and then you see a policeman coming up behind you. Now you're worrying, oh, geez, are you going to pull me over because my tail light's out? You know?
Right.
And the policeman may be not even looking at your tail light, and he feels all this energy coming from you about worry. And he goes, worry? This person's worrying about something, you know? Ah, his tail light.
Just so you know, Ron, I just went on the index, and there is not a worry clearing, but there is anxiety. So I think it's anxiety and fear that probably come the closest if you want to do the whole or need to do the whole life clearing on those.
Yeah. But the emotional one could probably work too, you know, if you wanted that. It all depends how deeply ingrained the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
Right, or the mental body.
Oh, yeah, mental could work too.
Yeah.
And then, so I would do like a specific incident and then just like run something like that overnight, like 600 minutes or something like that, or what's the...
I would do that, yeah. That'd be very good.
Yeah. Okay. And then with the timeline crashes, I know you've got a space-time crash and then there's a set sequence. Now, if I run a timeline crash for something for, let's say, 600 minutes, do I need to do the space-time crash for the same amount of time?
Normally, I would say yes. Now, I don't know if that's actually needed that much more. I don't know. You'd have to just try it and just see how your body's feeling. You know, you might do it for maybe one-tenth of what you did before.
Okay.
See how that works out.
What if I did the space-time as just, I guess it's like they have the whole lifetime versus the specific incident. So if I run a timeline for a long period and then do the space-time just like clearing the lifetime, does that work, or do I need to do the same incident for space-time?
Be the same incident.
Okay.
As you're going to be out there in the beyondo, connected to emotions on the timeline, because you still have those emotions not on the timeline. As much, it's the same thing as like that broken taillight, but you're not, you're just driving down the road without the policeman, and eventually maybe they may find you, you know.
Yeah.
They come out of your trunk, you know.
Yeah, which is, so we, you know, we live near Santa Monica Airport, and we have, you know, a lot of helicopters our house, and both Maude and I noticed like they're here like at all hours of the night, And we noticed that it gets kind of funky around our house when the helicopters are overhead. Like, there's, you know, people tripping and falling, or, you know, kind of irritated, or glasses breaking. How would we work with something like that? I don't know that it's related to the helicopters, but it seems like there's some type of a correlation. So when we have like a slew of, you know, injuries or things like that are going through, how would we clear like multiple things for different people? Is it a space clearing or?
I know that when you're at some height, and I've only noticed it, you know, when you're high in an airplane flying, you're not connected to any of the Earth energy. Oh, you're not connected to the grid lines and ley lines and whatever else mm-hmm. the Earth is transmitting. Mm-hmm. So what I'm kind of getting maybe is, since the helicopters are up there, and they may be closer than an airplane because they're not going as fast, so they can go up and down, where an airplane can't really necessarily stop, you know, and they're going at such a high rate. So maybe the helicopters going slower is disrupting your grounding energy of your house and everybody in it, as it is stirring up that energy that you'd normally use coming out of the Earth to ground itself.
Uh-huh.
That's a possibility. So you kind of think about it as maybe the helicopter is disturbing your field by the propellers, you know, the blades moving on it, causing something to happen to your space location.
Mm-hmm. So would that be a ley line issue, or just basically timeline?
It could be moving and over when it goes through it, disrupting it.
Uh-huh.
It'd be interesting if we had somebody on who actually, you know, either flies or rides in helicopters. They were, you know, they could say how high they need to go before they feel that Earth being disconnected. But I think it's mixing up and taking away energy around you that's giving you peace from the Earth energy. I think it's just disconnecting that or disrupting it totally. And then everything else that would be normally connected to the ley line or grid line, whatever word you want to use there, you know, may also be having troubles, and it may not be grounding right, you know, or it may like fall off a shelf or something because it lost its connection. Mm-hmm. Timeline. Maybe it's disrupting the timeline that you're on, too.
You said something interesting about the Earth energy and peace. So do I get peace energy from the Earth, or do peace?
As long as you're not in a spot to where there's a lot of trauma, well, your body's resonating with the energy of, we'll say, the dirt underneath your house, okay? Now, if they had a lot of trauma there, then you would be picking that up. So another way to say this, the most traumatic places probably would be like a graveyard, okay? So if you're walking through a graveyard, your body's going to be feeling all these dead bodies. Not going to like it because it's going to be feeling death. Mm-hmm. And that location or that area is going to be radiating that into your body, and that could disrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, sometimes things break because they hold the energy maybe of the people in the house, and maybe there could be some disturbance going on. And maybe when that ley line gets kind of like moved away or disrupted, something might break that's holding the energy to kind of like undo a spell that would be connected to that particular object. I don't know if I said that exactly,
a glass breaking, a glass, let's say, might hold a certain energy, and by it breaks the spell? Is that, that's kind of what I heard you say.
Yeah, in a sense, yes. So let's just say that hypothetically you had a lot of trauma in your house. Maybe let's just say that you hurt your toe, right? And it's really in a lot of pain, and you're at the kitchen table, and you have some glasses around on the table. Well, they're picking up that energy. And then you do your daily thing, you go to sleep, wake up the next day, the glass is still there. And this helicopter comes by, and all of a sudden that glass is still traumatized by your energy being in it. And maybe in the process, in order to help you, because it's connected to you, maybe you accidentally move your hand and jerk because you're able now to be ungrounded for a little bit, or the ley line gets switched around, kind of like moving your finger in front of your nose back and forth. And then all of a sudden, maybe you jerk your hand, or it just happens to fall off the table, and it breaks because now it broke the energy signature that would normally be resonating to you. I think I mentioned that with, like, people who have crystals and things. It'll carry your energy. Clothing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't clean it, rinse it off with water, or maybe do a something you can't wash, but maybe just doing object clearing, it'll neutralize it, and then it'll take away all that energy. Say a mother has a baby, a brand new baby, and the baby's crying all the time. Well, everything in that house will have that baby energy in there of all that trauma because it's crying, not peace energy. And then the mother may wonder, gee, I don't know why. I go to the refrigerator, get the bottle out for the baby or whatever, and I'm dropping this and dropping that. Well, it's actually helping the baby out because you're destroying the energy that would normally be corded to the baby.
Oh, it's corded energy, I think.
Yeah, so it will eventually cord into the person because it resonates with them.
So then would the object clearing be the one to use in that situation? And then how would you know what to clear?
Well, you may just want to do a space clearing. Just clear the space.
Yeah.
That should take care of everything in there. But if there's something that always breaks, you know, or gets bumped off the table, maybe it doesn't physically break, but it always falls down, then you may want to do an object clearing on that.
Yeah. We've got so many glasses and plates chipped, and it's like, wow, it's just this incredible rash of them.
Very interesting.
Very interesting, yeah. So space clearing, yeah.
I just got one more question.
The show's almost ending already.
Now, this is a fast
show. Oh, okay, wow, that went by so fast.
I know.
You said something earlier about, like, being startled, and like let's say I might be startled if I see somebody and I'm either there and not in their body, or I'm not in my body, something to that effect. And the way you phrased it was like light seeing light, my light seeing somebody else's light. Is that correct? Like that, like it was like mission. If someone's not in their body, then it's like I can't, and let's say I am, I don't recognize them.
You may not recognize them, or you may not feel them as being present, being in the same reality as you, because they're not in that reality. They're not running light energy. Oh, they may not even appear to you as being physically there.
Yeah, I see. So that if I catch myself being startled, is that an indication that I wasn't in my body? Or can I still be startled and be in my body?
Normally you won't be startled when you're in your body.
Okay.
Well, I guess the way to look at it would be like go to the grocery store and walk around, or just, you know, with your shopping cart, and maybe go down each aisle. And just see if you can feel presence of the people around you. Although we have so many clones now, it might be difficult to find a real person. But aside from that, normally they would all have energy. And then you're going to find somebody, you go, wow, this guy has nothing, or this lady has nothing in there. And are they the Walking Dead? Well, yeah, probably so, you know.
Yeah.
If you look at their eyes, they'll be all glossed over, probably, and it means lights on nobody home, you know. There are no lights on nobody home. Oh, yeah, that's how you tell how much you're in your body. If you really want to know, look at your eyes. The brighter they are, the more you're going to be in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, when Mark and I got back from the expo, you know, we went out to dinner and we had a waitress who was, we were kind of shocked because it felt like it was the first time we ever saw a clone. I mean, she was just, had like almost no personality. She was sweet and helpful, but was just waited for us to give an instruction. And it's like she couldn't do anything unless we told her what to do.
Yeah, that's a clone, all right. You found one.
Wow. There's one, we got one.
That's a program. The program to receive. You know, you gotta give them instructions.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I guess we probably should get off here. Well, I think we couldn't have another hour show of this here.
Yeah, it's terrific. It went by really fast. Thank you.
Want to come on, if you have the time, want to come on next Wednesday, that'd be great, Terry.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so we got our regular calls coming up. I got the expo back in New York on the 21st of this month, and then we have the month afterwards, the last weekend, we'll be in by San Francisco, 10 minutes away from SFO, the airport there, so San Mateo. So that's the New Living Expo. So New Life is in New York, and New Living is in California. So blessings, everybody. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Ann. We'll see you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye, all.
Thank you, Ron.
Terry.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.